An Osho Talk. The great Zen master, Tahui. Reflections on the transformation of an intellectual to enlightenment. Number 32.
Release. One day, Ku Shan approached Hu Sei Feng. Feng knew his circumstances were ripe, so he suddenly got up, held him tight, and said, "What is it?" Opening up, Ku Shan was completely enlightened. He even forgot his comprehending mind and just raised his hand and waved. Nothing more. Feng said, "Will you express some principle?" Having left the fifth patriarch's place, Wei Neng traveled south for 2 months and had reached the Taiyu range. He was pursued by the monk Wei Ming, who was originally a general, accompanied by several hundred men, who wanted to seize the robe and bowl, emblematic of succession to the patriarchs. Ming was the first to overtake him. The sixth patriarch threw down the robe and bowl on a rock and said, "This robe signifies faith. How can it be taken by force?" Ming tried to pick up the robe and bowl, but was unable to move them. At that point he said, "I have come for the Dharma, not for the robe." The patriarch said, "Since you've come for the Dharma, you should put to rest all your motivations and don't give rise to a single thought, and I will explain for you." After a silence, he said, "Without thinking of good and without thinking of evil, at just such a time, which is your original face?" At these words, Wei Ming was greatly enlightened. He also asked, "Besides the intimate words and meaning that struck home of a moment ago, is there any further intimate message?" The patriarch said, "If it were said to you, it wouldn't be intimate. If you turn around and reflect, what's intimate is in you." Ming said, "Though I was at Hue Mei, I never really had insight into my own face. Now, encountering your instruction, I am like a man drinking water who knows for himself whether it's cold or warm. Just know how to be a Buddha. Don't worry that a Buddha won't know how to talk. Since ancient times, people who have attained the path, since they are full themselves, have put forth their own surplus to respond to potentials and receive beings. They are like a bright mirror on its stand, like a bright jewel in the palm of the hand. When an outsider comes, an outsider appears. And when a native comes, a native appears. And it's not intentional. if it were intentional, then there would be a real doctrine to give to people. You want to be clear.
Tahui is still continues. About the meaning of release, the question is so fundamental. That however often it has to be repeated, it will never be said completely. There are things which you can only indicate. And the indication is always capable of being misunderstood. Most probably, it will be misunderstood. Because the indication is only an arrow. Unless you know to see in the direction, unless you are aware that the arrow is pointing to something beyond itself, there is every possibility you may cling to the arrow itself. Because of this complexity, things which were said for the freedom of man have become his imprisonment. What are your churches and what are your temples and what are your synagogues except prisons of your soul? What are your holy scriptures? They were meant to be arrows pointing beyond words. But even the so-called learned people cling to the words and forget completely that those words are only arrows. They are only pointing towards something which is wordless. which they cannot say, but they can point. They are only fingers pointing to the moon. Hence it has to be again and again from different aspects. Hammered on your conditioned mind. What is the meaning of release? Ta Hui gives you few examples. When the release did happen, and it happened absolutely irrationally, there was no necessity for it to happen. Except that the disciple was right, and the master's insight was so clear that he did not miss the moment. He strived, he slept, he shouted, he did something, and suddenly there was an opening. The clouds disappeared. One day, Kushan approached Sui Feng. Feng knew his circumstances were right. When a woman is pregnant, she knows. She is pregnant. And when the child is 9 months old, the mother knows that the time has come to receive a new guest in the world. There are no indications from the child but the very ripening has its own impact. In the east, when the mango groves are full of ripe mangoes, passing by the road, suddenly you know the whole air is full of the sweetness of the mangoes. Scientists have been working for almost half a century on the bees, because they have suspected that bees know a certain kind of language, and it is very exciting to find out what kind of language bees use. It will open up a tremendously new area of communication. One bee goes miles in a direction. For no reason at all. But she finds the place where flowers are blossoming. And she goes so directly to those flowers as if she is following a map. And once she has found the flowers, she returns back. And she dances in a certain way behind the whole, before the whole crowd of bees watching the dance. And that dance has all the indications in which direction, how far away you will find the flowers. And suddenly, thousands of bees start moving towards that direction. Without any fail, without going in any other direction, in the dance of the bee, there are indications which have not been yet deciphered. For half a century, work has been done, but it is very difficult because we know a language, but we don't know how a dance and the same kind of dance with little difference gives different meanings. If there are no ripe flowers, the dance will be the same, but such a slight difference that only bees can decipher it. Scientists have not been able. It is certain that there is a difference because no bee moves in that direction. They will wait. Tomorrow again the bee will go. Those certain bees are the messenger bees, the postmen. Bees have a hierarchy. There are soldiers, there are postmen, there are laborers, and there is a queen. they all do different kind of work. If there is danger, the same dance with a slight difference. Between the master and the disciples, something happens. That when the disciple is right, he knows he is right. And his master knows he is right. And this is the time to allow him a breakthrough. There are thousands of tremendously beautiful incidents. This one is so simple, but so pregnant. Feng knew his circumstances. If you are aware, how can you miss not to know? He knew his state is right. So he suddenly got up held him tight and said, "What is it?" And there was an opening up. Kusan was completely enlightened. Nothing special has happened. Just the master knew, the disciple knew, that something has come to a climax. And the master got hold of the disciple tightly and said, "What is it?" It is not a question to be answered. It is a question that opens up a new dimension in the disciple, opening up. Kusan was completely enlightened. He even forgot his comprehending mind. The experience was so great. The splendor was so overwhelming that he even forgot to to show his reverence to the master, or to say some right words to express his gratitude, he just raised his hand and waved. This waving of the hand is a mute expression that I have got it, that you got me right in the moment. It has happened. He just raised his hand and waved, nothing more. Feng said, will you express some principle? But there is absolute silence. The story has ended. The master's question, that you have waved your hand, that's right, but will you express some principle that you have understood, experienced? The disciple has not answered. There is no answer. He must have stood before Master, himself being the answer. His silence, his joy, his sudden opening, his crazy gesture of waving the hand simply indicates that it is beyond the mind and beyond my comprehension. What principle? There is only silence and no principle. It is something rare. Only a Zen story can end in such a way. The master asks the question and the disciple remains silent. That is the answer. If he had spoken, he would have got a good hit. Because his speaking would have showed that he has missed. That he could not manage to open himself entirely. That he has still remained in the mind. But his silence shows that now there is no question, no answer, there is no principle, no philosophy, there is no you, no me, but only a total serenity. An eternal silence which has never been disturbed. These are not stories. Stories don't end in such a way. This is an actual incident. The silence is being understood by the Master. Nothing is said, but everything is heard. Second incident, just giving you different aspects from different doors. Having left the fifth patriarch's place, Huineng, traveled south for 2 months and had reached the Ta Yu range. He was pursued by the monk Hui Ming, who was originally a general, accompanied by several hundred men, who wanted to seize the robe and the bowl, emblematic of succession to the patriarch. In Zen, every patriarch gives his robe and his bowl to his successor. And naturally, there is great competition and human frailties, jealousies. This man, Hui Ming, was far more learned in every way, far more cultured. He has renounced a great post of being a general and had become a disciple, and he has practiced long, but the master chose a very strange man, Huineng. In his monastery there were at least 12,000 monks. Not a single one would have thought that Huineng is going to become the successor. Because Huineng's only accomplishment was, since he has come 20 years before, he has been cleaning the rice for the 12,000 monks from the early morning till late night. For 20 years he has not done anything else. He has never been in any of the discourses of the Master. He has never read any scripture. In fact, he was illiterate. He was a villager. But a man of tremendous determination. The day he got initiated, he asked the Master, "What I am supposed to do?" And the Master said, "Go to the mess, clean rice, and never come back again to me." And he never came back again. And 20 years of silently waiting, because the Master had said, "If it is needed, I will come to you. But you should never show your face again to me. You simply clean the rice from the morning till night, then go to sleep. Again, clean the rice, go to the sleep." You can understand 20 years just cleaning rice, going to sleep. His mind became silent. No meditation is needed. He never went to any discourse. There was no time. Nobody talked to him because he was thought to be of the lowest category. Just a poor villager who knows nothing. And he never asked anything to anybody. People passed by him as if he was not. He was taken for granted. And the day of the Master's leaving the body came, and he said, "Before I leave my body, I want to choose my successor. And the way I have to choose is, whoever knows the right answer, should come in the night and write it on my door. If the answer is right, he will receive my robe and my bow." This ex-general Hui Ming was certainly the most important person in the whole foreign following of the Master, everybody thought that he will be the winner. So he went in the night and he wrote on the door, "No mind is the answer. But he was so afraid of the Master that if it is found to be wrong, he is going to get a good beating. He did not sign. He thought if it is right, then he will declare, I have written it. If it is wrong, then it is better to keep silent. In the morning when the Master woke up, he said, who is that idiot? Hearing this, Hui Ming escaped from the monastery that somebody may inform him, because few people has got the idea, few people were watching who is going to write. In fact, it was public knowledge that it is Hui Ming. Just 2 months after taking their food, passing by Hui Neng, were discussing that the Master is too hard. The answer seems to be right. No mind is the whole philosophy of Gautam Buddha. What more can be said? People had completely forgotten that Hui Neng even speaks. For 20 years he has not spoken a single word to anybody. He simply did his work, will go to sleep, wake up, start his work. That day, listening to those 2 monks, that the answer seems to be right and the Master is too hard, he laughed. Those 2 monks stopped and he said, why are you laughing? He said, whoever wrote that is an idiot. This was exactly what the Master had said. Who is the idiot who has spoiled my door? Those monks could not believe. But they informed the Master that a man of the name of Hui Neng, whom you had sent 20 years before to the mass, has exactly said the same thing, that whoever wrote this is an idiot. The Master said, I know. That is the only man I was hoping that he will come and write the answer, but I have forgot completely that in the first place he is non-ambitious. In the second place he cannot write, he is illiterate. In the third place I have prohibited him that whenever time comes I will come to you, you have to remain in the work I have given to you, never show your face. In the middle of the night, the master came, woke up Hui Neng, gave him the bowl and his robe and said, now you escape, because you are a simple fellow. And there is great competition. And there are dangerous people that men Hui Ming has been a general. He is a warrior. They will try to snatch away the robe and the bowl. So you simply escape as far away as possible. Hui Neng said, but I don't know anything. Moreover, I have not committed any crime. Why should you make me your successor? Why I can't be left to live peacefully? You can find so many people are eager, wanting to be the successor. Why you are bothering me? But the master said, these are the reasons why I am bothering you. A man who is not interested at all is the right man. A man who has no ambitions is worthy. A man who can refuse the highest a stage in the tradition of Zen, of being a patriarch, a master of masters, he still tried to persuade him that just let me clean rice and don't disturb my sleep. I am tired and in the morning I have to start my work again. And just think of 12,000 monks and their rice. The master said, stop all this. If people become aware that I have chosen you, they will kill you. You just take this bowl and this robe and run away. Because tomorrow morning I am going to die. And before that I want you to be miles away. That's how Hui Neng was chosen to be the successor. It's strange people. And strange are their stories. But of tremendous importance, this Hui Neng was followed by Hui Ming, the general, with thousands of people to catch hold of him and forcibly take away the bowl and the rope and declare himself the master. This is the background of this story. Ming was the first to overtake him. There were many others also following. The sixth patriarch threw down the robe and bowed. On a rock and said, this robe signifies faith. How can it be taken by force? Faith cannot be taken by force. Faith grows only in the climate of love. Faith is the highest flowering. It cannot be taken away by force. So this is the robe and this is the bowl. But remember, this robe signifies faith and you are only a general. You know the ways of force. You don't know the ways of love. How can it be taken by force? If you can take it by force, take it. Ming tried to pick up the robe and bowl, but was unable to move them. It may seem to be fictitious. But in the deepest experience of my own self, I don't think it is fictitious. I have my own explanation why it happens. Because Hui Neng, a man of peace and silence, and a man without any desire, when such a man speaks, he speaks with authority. His words are pure power. And when he said this bowl, this robe, represent faith. And faith cannot be taken by force. His very statement would have weakened Hui Ming. He knew perfectly well he does not have faith. He knows only what force is. It must have weakened his whole will. It is not a miracle. It is a simple psychological fact. He tried to pick it up, but he must have tried knowing perfectly well that he cannot pick it up. There is a place near a beautiful river, Narmada. There was a temple of Shiva. And in every temple of Shiva, outside, his bodyguard is the bull. The bull sits outside the temple. In that particular temple, it is an ancient temple. A story continues that underneath the bull there is little space. You can pass through it, but only if you have faith. I had gone there with a friend who was a professor himself. Full of doubts, although he was not too fat, but when I told him that try to pass through this small space underneath the bull, he said, I don't see any problem because I'm not a fat man. I can pass. I said to him that you cannot pass, because unless you have faith, it is not a question of being fat or being thin. I have seen fat people passing through it, and I have seen thin people getting caught. He said, it is all nonsense. I will show you. But even while he was saying, deep inside he was trembling. A crowd gathered, which made it even more fearful, and he was caught in the middle. And he started shouting for help. That helped me. I said, in questions of faith, nobody can help. Try your logic, try your reason, try your arguments, and people were laughing. They were laughing because he was so thin. Why he has got caught? Just he lost his nerve. He knew perfectly well he has no faith. He has no trust. He is full of doubts. He is doubt and nothing else. He knew perfectly well in the depths of his heart that he cannot pass. I had to pull him out, of course, from the back side, because I said, from the front I cannot. Because I cannot go against the rule. So I had to pull by his legs backwards. He looked very strange. He said, I can see that the space is enough, but something inside me simply gave way. I simply lost my nerve. And I went myself through that small space. And I was at least twice in weight than the professor. There are things which may look fictions if you don't understand man and his psychology. To me, this is not a fiction. This is a historical fact. It must have happened. The words of Hui Neng must have created the atmosphere, the climate that Hui Ming lost his willpower. He tried, but he had no force. He suddenly became important. Ming tried to pick up the robe and bowl, but was unable to move them. At that point he said, I have come for the dharma, not for the robe. The patriarch said, since you have come for the dharma, you should put to rest all your motivations and don't give rise to a single thought, and I will explain for you. After a silence he said, without thinking of good and without thinking of evil, at just such a time, which is your original face, when there is no movement of thought, desire, motivation, at such a moment, you are in your original purity. And to know this original face is to know all. At these words, Hui Ming was greatly enlightened. He also asked, besides the intimate words and meaning that struck home of a moment ago, is there any further intimate message? The patriarch said, if it were said to you, it would not be intimate. Because the words create distance. The intimate is not a communication. The intimate is a transmission from heart to heart, in silence, in love, in peace. Nothing is said, nothing is heard, but everything is understood. That is intimate. If it were said to you, it would not be intimate. If you turn around and reflect, what is intimate is in you. It is not outside you. You are the most intimate to yourself. Nobody can be closer to you than yourself. However close somebody may come to you, that closeness is still a distance. Only you are intimate. Ming said, though I was at Huang Mai, I never really had insight. He recognized that although he has been in the monastery for years, studying, disciplining himself, he had never any real insight into my own face. Now, encountering your instruction, I am like a man drinking water who knows for himself whether it is cold or warm. Just know how to be a Buddha. Don't worry that a Buddha won't know how to talk. Since ancient times, people who have attained the path, since they are full themselves, have put forth their own surplus to respond to potentials and receive beings. They are like a bright mirror on its stand, like a bright jewel in the palm of the hand, when an outsider comes, an outsider appears. When a native comes, a native appears. And it is not intentional. If it were intentional, then there would be a real doctrine to give to people. You want to be clear. These are the two ways, whether you want to be clear or you want to be clever. However clever you become, you will remain ignorant. And you may know nothing, but if you are clear, a mirror without any dust, you will reflect the very essence of existence. It is a strange story that before Hui Neng died, after many years of this incident, he chose Hui Ming to be his successor. What he could not get by force, he got by becoming non-ambitious, meditative. That when Hui Neng asked him that now the time has come for me to depart, and Hui Ming, you have been so ambitious to be the patriarch, you can take the bowl and the robe which you could not have. With all your force, are you ready now? He said, I am no more interested. There are many others. Hui Neng, the illiterate, became one of the greatest Zen masters just by his simplicity. Just by his innocent ways. He attracted many disciples of great qualities. And he had many followers who could have been chosen as his successors. But first he asked Hui Ming that you were so desirous. I wanted to give you at that very moment, but it was not within my capacity. Neither I could give it, nor it was in your capacity to take it. But now I can see you are right. and Hui Ming is reported to have said that it is a strange game. When I wanted it, I could not have it. Now I have not a slightest desire, and you are offering me. Can't you find somebody else? Hui Ning said, these are the indications of a right successor. Zen is the path of desirelessness. There is nothing to attain. There is no goal to reach. You are simply to relax, be at ease, and you will find you have always been there where you wanted to be. You have never left the Garden of Eden. The Christian story is wrong. I have been talking about the Christian story from so many different angles. It is a beautiful story and certainly has tremendous potential. This aspect has also to be remembered, that wherever you are still in the Garden of Eden. Even it is not in the capacity of God to throw you out. Where He will throw you out? Because everywhere is the Garden of Eden. And I am always wondering, not a single Christian theologian has raised the question in 2000 years that God drove out Adam and Eve from Garden of Eden, but where He drove them out? Is there something out of existence? Everything is within. There is nothing without. There are no boundaries to reality. You cannot be thrown out of reality. It is such a simple fact that you are still in the Garden of Eden, just you have fallen asleep. Your sleep consists of your mind, of your desires, your dreams, your ambitions, your motivations. Once you drop all this crap, suddenly you wake up and you will find yourself in the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden does not belong to God. It is not His monopoly. It belongs to everyone, to every living entity. Because God is only a collective name of all the consciousnesses that exist in the world. God is not some person. The Christian story has made God very ugly. If I have to write the story again, the first instructions I will give to Adam and Eve, and those are the instructions I am giving to you. That eat the fruit of wisdom, eat the fruit of eternal life. You belong to the ultimate consciousness. You belong to deathlessness. You are a Buddha. Just you have to be shaken up. It is not that you have to do much austerities and knock on the doors and beg and pray that God, Father, please open the door. I will never eat the fruit. I will never look at it. You are sitting under the tree. Just open your eyes and the wisdom is yours and eternal life is yours. And these are not two trees. The story is wrong on many points. First, a God who is a father cannot prevent you from eternal life and cannot prevent you from being wise. Secondly, wisdom and eternal life are not two. They are two aspects of the same experience. I declare to you this is the Garden of Eden. If you want to sleep a little more, there is no harm. There is no need to be in a hurry either. Sleep well. Just stop dreaming. And you will wake up. It is the dreams which go on keeping you asleep. In other words, I can define meditation as a non-dreaming consciousness.